going to be in church this morning. Glad we serve a holy God. We're going to do something a little different this morning. Take your Bibles and look back over at the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 8. Do something a little different this morning. I believe the Lord's leading in a different direction. And so we're going to continue on with what is there in Genesis chapter number 8. But Lord willing, next week we'll finish up dealing with the Holy Ghost and how the dove pictures the Holy Spirit. But I'd like to take a few moments this morning and look at Genesis chapter 8 here and verse number, let's see what verse I want to start, verse 13. So look at Genesis chapter 8 and let's start in verse number 12. Genesis 8, verse number 12, the Bible says, "And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore." So Noah has already sent out the raven. The raven didn't come back. He sends out the dove. The dove comes back with a olive leaf plucked off. And Noah realized in verse number 11, the Bible says, Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stays another 7 days. The dove stays with him another 7 days. And then he sends forth that dove. And that dove doesn't come back anymore. And so Noah's there in the ark, and he knows that the waters were abated from off the earth. And the Bible says in verse number 13, "And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, and the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry." Verse 14, "And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. So, Lord, I ask for your help now this morning. Lord, I pray just to clear my mind. I pray clear my thoughts, dear God. Lord, may I just speak exactly what you'd have me to speak, no more, no less, dear Lord. So, Lord, please give us wisdom. Please give us guidance this morning. Lord, please open our ears and our hearts, dear God, to, as it says in the book of Revelation, to hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches, dear God. Lord, all is vain unless you meet with us. So, Lord, we ask, dear God, that you'd meet with us now as we open up the bread of life here, this, the Word of God. And, Lord, help us to glean something from it, Lord, as we go forward in these last days that we're living in. Lord, help us to redeem the time. Help us not to get entangled up with the life or the affairs of this life, and that we'd endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. For your glory and for your honor and for your praise, we ask it now in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 8, we read from verse number 12 all the way down to verse number 19. But I want you to see something here this morning that kind of jumped out at me while I was studying this the other day. And the Bible says in verse number 12, Noah and the dove, he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. So Noah sends out this dove this last time, and she fails to come back. She doesn't come back anymore. And Noah already knew from verse number 11 that the waters, the flood that God brought in to destroy the ungodly and the wicked, he sent forth the raven, and it went to and fro, and it stayed out there. But this dove was kind of like a sign to Noah, kind of giving him some eyesight through the dove of what's going on out there on the earth after this flood. And he sends the dove out. She comes back because she doesn't find no rest for the soles of her feet. And he waits a little bit, sends her back out again. And eventually the dove comes back, and she's got a piece of an olive leaf in her mouth. And Noah realizes, okay, the water's got to be pretty much gone because there's treetops or somewhere where this dove got this olive leaf and branch in her mouth and has brought it back into the ark. Now, can you imagine Noah has been on the ark for over a year now. I don't know about you, but I would get kind of antsy of wanting to get off that boat. I wouldn't want to be on that boat for a week, much less a whole year. And can you imagine just the stink on the ark? Just the stench of all those animals on that ark. The animals, the people, you know that that family, some people were starting to get on other people's nerves. I guarantee you, you spend a year and over a year with the same 8 people on a boat, there's going to be some fighting. There's going to be some disagreements, and sometimes it's not going to be happy times. So I say all that to say this, come this point now to where Noah brings that dove comes back in and she's got an olive leaf in her mouth. There's no doubt rejoicing among all the family members. Surely soon we got to be able to get off this ark. Surely God's answered our prayers. The waters are abated and we can open up that door right now. I can imagine too wondering if one of his sons did. Now this is conjecture. If one of them said, can we open the door now and go out? Noah says, no, we got to wait on God. The waters are abated. We got to wait on God. Verse number 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up. Look what the Bible says. The waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. No doubt a glorious day for Noah. Again, put yourself in a position of Noah. He waits, and on this day here, God gives the green light, and he removes the covering of the ark, and he looks out there, and behold, the face of the ground is dry. Noah looks out. Not only does he have the dove that showed to him that she had the olive, now he looks out for himself. And he looks out from the top of that ark, and he looks out because the covering is now gone, and he can see out there, and he says, the ground is dry. But guess what? Look at the next verse, verse 14. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. So God has Noah wait almost 2 more months. After Noah removes that covering, God has Noah wait almost 2 more months before he's allowed to get off that ark, even though in Noah's eyesight, the ground looks dry. Look at verse 15. God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now, brethren, I believe there's something here serious for us this morning. And I think it's an epidemic in our society today. You see, it's a blessing to read how Noah waited for God's command to go forth. And that's evident there in verse number 15. Noah waited to hear from God before he went forth. He waited to hear from God. Look, Noah did not go off of what he saw or thought concerning the dryness of the ground. Noah's eyesight and what Noah can see, he looked out there after he removed the covering and the ground was dry in the eyes of Noah. But in the eyes of God, it wasn't time yet. Even though when he looked, he saw that the ground was dry, he had to have patience to wait almost another 2 months before hearing from the Lord and getting that green light. So often, waiting on the Lord is the hardest part of our Christian walk. Waiting on God to give us a green light or to give us an answer or to wait till we never get the answer from God, that waiting is sometimes the hardest thing to do in a Christian life because we want so often to take it into our own hands and to take control because we feel like God is not hearing us or God doesn't know or that God doesn't know what he's doing. I thank the Lord this morning that Noah had the patience and the fortitude and the character to wait on God before he got out of that ark. The inability, take your Bible while I'm saying this, 1 Samuel, look over at 1 Samuel, Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. The inability to wait on the Lord and His ways can have dire consequences in our life. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and look at verse number 8. 1 Samuel 13, verse number 8. I'll say this again before we read this. The inability to wait on the Lord and His ways can have dire consequences in our lives. We fall into and create a big mess when we turn to our own reasonings. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Samuel 13, verse number 8. This is dealing with King Saul. And he was told here in verse number 8 of chapter 13. Look what the Bible says. Referring to King Saul. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. Wrong. He was not allowed to offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice because he was not the priest and he didn't wait for Samuel. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Verse 11. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Saul misses out having the kingdom established him forever because he got impatient and he went off of what he saw. Samuel told him to wait 7 days. Samuel told him to wait 7 days, and then when he showed up, Samuel showed up, then Samuel would make intercession to the Lord for Saul. Saul had no right to take this upon himself, yet he took it upon himself, and he creates a big mess, not only for himself, but for all that around him, because he jumped the gun. And we're going to get something back over in Genesis, so put this all away in the back of your mind. Saul jumped the gun. He went off of what he saw, he went off what he thought, and he even tries to make a little excuse there in verse number 12 to Samuel, saying, "I had to force myself to do it, Samuel. Samuel, you don't realize how bad it was. Samuel, I really didn't want to do it, but I had to force myself to do it." No, Saul, you also wanted to be a priest. Not just the king, you wanted to be a priest. That was Samuel's position. Samuel was going to bring and give the offering and seek God for him. And Samuel says, "You disobeyed God and you haven't kept God's commandment. Therefore, the kingdom will not be established to you." Saul's offering was unacceptable in the sight of God. He misrepresented God. He was self-willed and led. And he puts the other servants of God in an awkward position. Look what Saul says in verse 9. And he said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. If he had just waited a few more minutes, Samuel would have showed up and given him direction and guidance. But Saul let what he saw make his conduct to where he offered this offering and didn't wait for Samuel because he saw the people were leaving him and it appeared that the Philistines were getting ready to come up and attack him. And Saul said, "I got to get a hold of God." Brethren, the ends don't justify the means. The ends don't justify the means. Well, I'm doing this for the Lord. Is God telling you to do it? We're going to get somewhere this morning. I don't know how long we're going to get somewhere. But I think there's something here this morning. I think we got a lot of people today, they're doing things in the name of Jesus Christ, and God's not telling them to do it. And it's misrepresenting God. And it's creating a mess of things. Because they're going off of what they see and what's happening rather than being sent by God. I believe this, brethren, I know others might have a different belief on this. I believe every pastor ought to be ordained by a local church and sent out from a local church to go establish something. I believe every missionary ought to be ordained, that man and needs to be ordained and sent out from a local church so that there's an authority. There's a responsibility and an authority there from the local church. Listen, I'm not talking about setting up a denomination. I'm talking about some responsibility and accountability. Look, you send out a man because he's proven. You lay hands on no man suddenly. Look, if some man in here that's a member and he says, I feel God's called me to preach and pastor a church, then the men in this church ought to be examining this man's life before he even says any words. And the men in the church, along with the pastor, should have a leading from the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, I think God's in this, or no, I think this is your own self-will. I knew a man one time that went down to our church down there and joined it for the sole purpose because he couldn't find a church to where the pastor would send him out. Why? Because his life was a mess. His family was a mess. But he wanted a pastor. And he wouldn't sit still nowhere because he was trying to set it up himself. Brethren, we get ourselves into a mess when we go ahead before God and do things that God does not want us to do. This was Samuel or Saul had no excuse. And though he tries to bring this excuse in verse number 12, he said, I forced myself. You see the actions of Saul also when he has to deal with the Amalekites as well, to where he lies, outright lies to Samuel and does not tell the truth. And it creates a mess. Brother, I want you to go back over to Genesis chapter 8 here for a moment. Look here in Genesis chapter 8. And look again what the verse says, what the Bible says in verse 13 and 14. And it came to pass in the 601st year, the first month, the first day of the month. So the first day of the first year of the 601st year, Noah looks out from there because the covering's now off, and he beholds the ground, that the face of the ground was dry. Verse 14. Why didn't God, we'll read verse 14. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dry. Why did God have him wait almost 2 months more before God let him get off the ark? I wonder what was going through Noah's mind. He removes the ark, he looks out, he looks, and it's dry. Well, let's go to sleep tonight, we'll wake up the morning, maybe God will have us tomorrow morning get off the ark. Wakes up the next morning, looks out there, yep, still dry. Have you heard from God yet? No, I haven't heard from the Lord yet. Dad, have you heard from the Lord yet? No, I haven't heard from the Lord. Why don't we just open it up and go out? It's dry. Can't you see, Daddy? It's dry out there. Why can't we just go out there? Maybe God's just wanting us to go now because you can see it's dry. Maybe God's telling us to go. Maybe that's his answer. No, son, I haven't heard from the Lord yet. I haven't heard from the Lord yet. 2 weeks later. Dad, come on, Dad. Look. Look how dry it is out there, Dad. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on, Dad? 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later. Now, I'm not saying those boys were doing that or their wives. But I know how I am, and I know how I act, and how at some point during those 6 to 7 weeks, I'd start questioning of, Dad, maybe you missed the voice of God because we open it up, it's dry, Dad, and I think we should go. Brethren, I ain't never thought about this before. But if Noah would have got off that first day of that first month of the 601st year, and it appeared dry, yet underneath was a soggy mess, it would have been a huge mud pile. A bog. You see, the ground appeared dry on the surface in Noah's eyes, but underneath was saturated and waterlogged soil, which it could only be seen by the eyes of the Lord. Can you imagine? You just had a flood of waters on this earth for over a year. sinking in on that soil. Look, we've got a lot of rain this winter. And if you look at my backyard right now, and I got a yellow lab, he has made it into a mud pit. Right? I don't even let him go out there. And I kind of try to keep where he's going because it is just a mess. And the ground is just so soggy, at least where I live, the ground is just soggy and saturated with water. And we've had nothing like what Noah faced here. And so though it appeared to his eyes that the ground looked dried and safe to walk upon, God looks down and says, son, it's not dry enough yet, and it's not safe enough yet, because not only are you getting off the ark, but all those animals behind you are getting off at the same time. And guess what? They're also getting off this ark up in the top of a mountain range. Brethren, all the animals, plus Noah and his family, could have been put in a very dangerous situation. There was a great potential for a muddy disaster, seeing that the ark came to rest upon the top of a mountain range. Mudslides and the slipping off of a mountainside were quite possible if the ground was not yet stable. Look at what's going on over there in California with all the rains that they're getting, and look what's happening to the mountainsides over there. Can you imagine if Noah and all those animals would have got off when he wanted, or maybe if he would have first saw it was dry to get off, the mess that they could have possibly created up there in those mountain ranges. Animals slipping down the mountainside because it's too muddy, can't because the ground's unstable. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4 and look at verse number 10. Proverbs 4 and look at verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 4, and look at verse number 10. Proverbs 4, verse number 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And that word straighten, it means impeded or restricted. So he's telling him, he says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened or impeded or restricted. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Look down verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be what? Established. Brethren, Noah had the patience to wait on God. And there was a reason why God wanted him to wait 2 months before he got off that ark. If Noah would have gone off of what he saw or what he thought, I believe he would have created a huge mess for not only for him and his family, but for also for all those animals getting off that ark. Take your Bible and look over at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verse number 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression of disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed on us by them that heard him? Letting something slip. Brethren, I believe God with all my heart, I believe the hour and the time that we're living in right now, God desires for us to get even more and more entrenched into the Word of God. Because you know what this Bible does? This Bible is, not only is the Lord Jesus Christ an anchor, I believe God's words are also an anchor for us to keep us steadfast and sure and established lest we slip. You see, what's going on all around us is we're being, I said it in the Sunday school hour, we are being inundated with information, with knowledge, with wisdom, with news. And to me, it's like water after water. And it's like a flood that can come in upon our soul and it can discourage us. But I believe it also can create a mess to where it could cause the possibility of us slipping. Slipping from some of the things that we know. And creating a mess in our life. You see, patience and timing is key as we walk with the Lord. If not led and directed by the Lord, we may produce a muddy mess or cause one to get bogged down on by topics that have no relevance for our daily spiritual walk with the Lord. We may bring ruination and a mess not only to our own lives, but that of others. And this is what I mean by that. I said earlier that we better make sure when we do things for God that God is in what we're doing. Because if not, we can create a mess, a muddy mess, or we can cause people to get bogged down in things that have no application to their spiritual walk with God. There's a lot of going on in the internet world right now. And last time I checked, listen, God did not establish YouTube for the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and preachers, pastors. And there's a lot of individuals going out there today and they don't have a church. They got an internet church and they got everything else going on out there and their audience is out there in internet land. There's no accountability. There's no flock to take care of. They don't have to worry about the sheep because they're not with the sheep. God has established a local church. And God has established a pastor over a local church. Why? For an accountability to both one another. Right. I'm accountable to you and you're accountable to me. And we're accountable to one another and we're to be there for one another and help one another along. But when you have an internet church, there is no accountability. Or a TV preacher. He does not even know that you exist. I know you exist. And you know I exist. And we bear one another's burdens. Because that's what God's called us to do. A pastor ought to pray for his people, and his people ought to pray for the pastor. It's hard to show much love through a television screen. You can't do this. Stand up. You can't do this in a television screen. Appreciate, love you. I'm here for you if you need anything. You can't do that on YouTube. You can't do that on YouTube. You can put something over in the chat section, but within 10 seconds, it's off the screen anyways, and people aren't going to pray for you anyways, for the most part. What I just did to that man is vitally important in a church. That touch right there, there's times in my life when I was going through things as a Christian and my pastor just come by and went like that and gave me a little squeeze that nobody else could see. A little squeeze on the shoulder and it lifted me up to keep fighting the good fight for Jesus Christ. It wasn't what he preached. It wasn't what he taught. It was that quick little moment to where he squeezed my shoulder. He didn't even say anything. He just squeezed my shoulder. And then that squeeze was, it's going to be all right. Don't quit. Keep going. And that's the only reason I believe I needed to be in church that day. I needed that touch on the shoulder. I didn't need what was being preached. And you can't get that on the internet. Brethren, Noah waited on God. And by Noah waiting on God, when his family and those animals got off that ark and he was leading off into a new world now, that world that he was leading them off into was solid and had good footing for not only him, but for those animals as well. And a church ought to set forth a good example, good footing that people can go forward on for the cause of Jesus Christ. But you know what's going on the internet today? A lot of things being put out there and people get to listen to it, and it's not good, solid footing. And it's causing people to slip. It's causing people to get bogged down. It's causing people to lose their faith and hope and comfort in Jesus Christ because it's things that they should not be getting. Brethren, I pray, and I know most of you in here, I believe everybody here, I hope you do, you pray that God gives us what we need Sundays and Wednesdays. Amen. I try to pray. Brethren, I'm not even preaching what I was planning on preaching this morning. I was sitting up here and the Lord's like, keep going on with Genesis 8. I was like, that's why I went out there. I was like, Lord, you sure? Like, you sure you want me to keep, like, I'm not just jumping the gun on this thing? Lord says Genesis 8. And it ain't no audible voice. It's called walking with God, spending time in his word. The Lord's saying, no, I want Genesis chapter number 8. Amen. And brethren, you get that by coming to church. Yeah. You've got to be around the brethren. Amen. Why? Because God might be trying to give you something here that you're not going to get if you look at the YouTube channel. Because God's trying to set some things up underneath your feet to keep you from falling. Brethren, take your Bible. Take your Bible. Look over at Psalm 69. Look at Psalm 69 and what David says here in Psalm 69. And I believe this can apply to us today with the day and hour that we're living in. Look at Psalm 69 and verse number 1. Psalm 69 and verse number 1. Now this is a fairly long psalm, so we're not going to read through the whole thing. But look at what David says here in Psalm 69 verse number 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Flip over to verse 14. Same psalm, look at verse 14. Deliver me, he says it again here. David says, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O God, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Jump down to verse number 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will sing praise. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and a hoof. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Brethren, David says here numerous times, he says, I'm in a position, Lord, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those that hate me and out of deep waters. Brethren, if we don't stand on the word of God, if we don't stand on the word of God and the promises contained in this Bible, we don't stand there, we're not established there, and once we're standing there and we're established there, we also got to be careful that we don't start moving until God gives us the green light. Every day of your moment, if you're saved this morning, every moment of your day ought to be led and directed by the Holy Spirit of God, to where God will give a green light, and then sometimes God will give a red light. Sometimes he'll give a yellow light, like proceed with caution. Sometimes he'll give you a green light, say go ahead. And sometimes there'll be a red light that says stop right now and just wait. Why? God, why do I got to wait? God, it looks like it's good right ahead of me. No, son, if you step out in there, you're going to start sinking by the fifth step. You're not ready to walk on that ground yet, and that ground's not ready for you to walk on it yet. Brethren, you see, too many internet ministries are causing a muddy mess and are bogging down believers with the law and the lost with topics, doctrines, and subjects that have no issue or bearing on one's daily spiritual and practical walk with God. Hear me now. And there's a lot of preachers going down this road right now that are seeing it. The exciting stuff out there that you might find in the Bible, gap theory, flat earth, I mean, all kinds of stuff out there that, look, they're babes in Christ and they're getting information that isn't ready for them to have to eat yet, and it's bogging them down and it's getting new believers into a mess. Brethren, what does Jesus Christ put the emphasis on? Take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 11. Please hear me this morning, brethren. Noah didn't get off that ark because the ground wasn't ready yet. And sometimes, brethren, the ground's not ready yet in people's hearts and lives. Take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 11 and look at verse 28. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ, actually go back up to verse number 25. Look what the Lord says in verse number 25 of Matthew chapter 11. Please hear what the Bible says, hear what the Lord says. By Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, look what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Look what the Bible says, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And look what the Lord says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And look what the Lord says, and learn of me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Brethren, Jesus Christ, brethren, read through Matthew, read through Luke, read through John, read through Mark, read through the Pauline epistles and the book of Acts. And what do these men of God put the emphasis on? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing the will of the Father. And if you stay on those grounds, it will be solid ground. And for the most part, if you stay where God wants you to go, it's not going to create a muddy mess and bog someone down with something. Brethren, I got some views on things. I got some thoughts on some things that I will never tell anybody my view on it. Why? Because it doesn't matter concerning eternity. And I've seen others talk about situations and it genders strife and contention. I've seen churches get split over the gap theory and it's insanity. You're not talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. You got one person that thinks there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and then you got somebody else that doesn't think there's a gap there. And I'm not going to talk to you, and you're not going to talk to me because we're going to hate each other, and I'm going to write 5 books against you, and then you're going to write 5 books against me. And guess what? Everybody else out there is going to hell because we're arguing about a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Brethren, I said it last week, and I told it to men, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Jesus Christ told us what to put the emphasis on, and that's to do the Father's will. Well, preacher, what about Hebrews chapter 6 or Hebrews chapter 10 or what about this? And I heard a preacher one time say this, and I think he's right on. He's been doing it for a long time. He's in his late 60s, been pastoring for 40 or 50 years. I don't know how long he's been pastoring, a long time. And he said this. He says, listen, I'm not worried about how the Old Testament saints got saved, and I'm not worried about how the New Testament tribulational saints get saved. I'm concerned about right now where we're at in the gospel and the age of grace we're in right now. But you'll have brethren fight over this stuff in the Old Testament and the tribulation. And I don't even plan to be here for the tribulation. But you're going to have good brothers and good preachers with good churches that won't associate with themselves because one brother's got a little bit different view than the other brother. And the devil sits back and laughs at independent Baptists. Look at them. They're arguing over each other. Look at them. Let's keep them going. Hey, go whisper in that guy's ear. Hey, yeah, you go whisper over in that guy's ear, and we'll get them to fight for the next 3 years. And the world sits back and is like, these people are crazy. Now, if it comes down to the blood atonement, then we're going to have to part ways. If it comes down to the deity of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to part ways. If it comes down to the Trinity, we're going to have to part ways. If it comes down to where you believe differently in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, then we're going to have to part ways. But I'm not breaking fellowship with you brothers and sisters if one of you think a little bit something different about the Old Testament compared. Look, brethren, I'm all about rightly dividing the Word of God. I'm all about it. But there is division and a muddy mess and a bogging down of God's people because it just won't go forward with what Jesus Christ and the apostles and the disciples put the emphasis on, especially through the Pauline epistles for the church. Jesus said, learn of me. You see, too many believers today are subjecting themselves to topics and subjects which appear exciting to learn about, but only breed contention and strife. These subjects have no bearing on one's eternal soul or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yea, rather they create a muddy mess and bog one down while the will of God goes undone. Take your Bible, look at James chapter 3. Look at James chapter 3 as we close out here this morning. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And look at verse number 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. James chapter 3 and look at verse 13. James chapter 3, verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, I want you to apply that verse then to the situations that you might have somebody on the radio, on a television screen, on your computer screen, or on your smartphone. Brethren, I said it earlier. Brethren, it's hard to prove out somebody's life by just watching them on YouTube or on the television. But brethren, if you stay around here long enough and you stay around me long enough, you're going to get a pretty good idea of the man that I am. You come out sign holding, you take part in the fellowships, you're gonna get to know one another. Right. Brethren, I by God's grace, when you have people over for dinner, you get to know them better. You get to fellowship with them, you get to see them, you get to interact with them, and you get to build up a friendship there to where you know them. And the Bible says here in James chapter 3, verse 13, that you're to let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Brethren, that's hard to do when they're on the other side of a screen. Now, one of the reasons I'm saying all this morning is because there's one man in particular that has created a mess for Bible-believing Christianity. And I'm going to call his name Stephen Anderson. Causing a mess because of the access he has to millions of people. You see, but if he's in your midst and you can examine him and walk with him and then go to his house and realize, whoa, this man's making over $1 million. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having $1 million, but how are you spending it? If you're heaping it up to yourself, that's a little red flag for me. Because if God's giving you that money, you ought to be using that money for the glory of God, especially if you're the preacher. Brethren, look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If it starts breeding contention and strife, it's not of God. And you need to leave it alone. You need to leave it alone. Brother, I'm going to say this to you, and I pray God, as this church goes forward, and the people that are in this church that are saved, I pray that we all get to the place to where we have grace one with another. Amen. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I got friends and good preachers that have been a blessing to me on this side of certain issues and on this side of the fence, been an absolute blessing to me, a help to me, an encouragement to me, love me, and I thank God for them. And then I got other brothers and preachers that I know that are on this side of the fence, so to speak. And they've been an encouragement to me, and they've been a blessing to me, and they've been a help to me. And I've tried to grow to where I can accept what they got over here and accept what they got over there and not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Now, again, if it comes down to straight doctrinal issues, then yeah, I'm going to cut the ties there. But if you believe a little different about something that this man believes over here, I'm not throwing both of you out. You know why? Because we all can't agree on everything. Just get a man and a wife together and ask each one where they want to go to eat. Watch this. Tell me this doesn't ever happen. She's in a nursery, so I'm not worried about it. She can hear me in there. Where you want to go eat, honey? I don't care. You can choose. No, really, where you want to go eat? No, really, you could just, I know, but where do you want to go eat? I'm not, you just pick where you want to go and we'll go there. No, you just choose. Okay. Where are you going? I just gave you 3 chances to tell me where you want to eat, and now I'm going to where I want to go eat. Well, I thought we'd go. Seems like some others in here have had that type of an experience. I'm just saying, brethren, when I bring that up, look, we got to have grace with one another. And if it's off on, is it something majorly doctrinally wrong, then okay. But if it's just, I think a little more on this side, or I think a little more on that side, or I see it kind of this way, well, I see it kind of this way, amen. Let's go forward. And maybe God will give me light on this side, and then maybe God will give me light on this side, but let's keep going on for the cause of Jesus Christ. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see that last part there? And without hypocrisy. Brethren, if you don't have peace and you're full of anxiety and you're fretful, chances are that's not coming from God and you're not being led by God. Because if you're being led by God, it's going to be pure. It's going to be entreatable, it's going to be peaceable, it's going to be gentle, it's going to be without partiality, and it's going to be without hypocrisy. and it's not going to cause envying and strife and confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So flip back over real quick to Genesis chapter 8, and we're going to close out here this morning. Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter number 8, and look at verse number 15. Genesis chapter 8, verse 15. Look what the Bible says. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. I'm going to close with this thought here this morning, brethren. We need to have such a discernment and a walk with God where when God says, be quiet, we're quiet. And when God says to speak, we speak. Now, this may sound blasphemous to some, but I believe this is as sure as I'm standing here today. I believe in broadcasting the seed of the Word of God. I believe there's a time to where you go out and you just, as a public evangelism, as God leads and directs, you just hand out tracts and just try to broadcast a seed. But then I also believe there's times where you're not to broadcast a seed unless God wants you to broadcast a seed, because the ground might not yet be ready for that seed. Well, preacher, isn't it always right to tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe not so. And I know that might sound blasphemous to some. It's always right to tell somebody about Jesus. No, maybe there's times where the Lord just wants you to keep your mouth shut and just be a testimony in front of him before you bring up his name. Brethren, I'll give you a perfect example of that. And I said it before here in this church as I close out here this morning. I had a wonderful, wonderful, one of the best bosses I ever worked for in my life when I first got out of the Air Force, when I worked for a vending machine company. Tom Alexander, he was a wonderful man, wonderful man. I would go back and work for him any place. He was a great boss, a great manager. And he knew I was a Christian, and he realized when I got saved, because I got saved when I was working for him, and I believe he saw a difference in my life, and had a good relationship with him, but God would never give me an open door to talk to him about his soul. Every time I try to do it, when I get the truck back in at night, it was like the Lord said, no, keep your mouth shut, keep your mouth shut. Year one, year two, year three, I was like, Lord, can I get an opportunity to talk with this man? And then finally one day I came in, brought my truck in there, and I backed it in there. There was only five trucks in there. Backed it in there, and there was Mr. Tom, and he's sitting there. And all of a sudden the Lord opened up a wide open door to where we talked for almost 2 hours about his soul and about Jesus Christ and about the Bible. Wide open. And I don't know if it had been there if I tried to force that door open 2 years earlier. What I'm telling you this morning, brethren, is make sure you don't get off the ark before God tells you to get off the ark. Because you might just cause a muddy mess, or you might cause yourself or others to get bogged down in the mud. Because you look and the ground looks dry, but God can see what's underneath that ground. You look at an individual, but God can see the heart. You can't see the heart. And God might just say, I'm waiting to soften up that heart before you try to drop that seed into that ground. Because if you drop the seed in the ground now, the fowls of the air might come in and steal it away because the ground's not yet ready for the seed. I'm talking about this morning, brethren, a walk and a discernment with God. Not just going through methods and a program, which is what got our churches in a mess in the first place. Because we've gone off of methods and programs rather than a walk with God. You know why? Because it's so much easier to go off a method than a program, and it's a lot harder to walk with God. It takes effort. It takes study. It takes a prayer life. It takes staying in the Word of God. It takes faithfulness. It takes being patient to hear that still, small voice saying, go ahead and get off the ark. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this blessed book. Thank you, Lord, for these things that we can learn from Noah. God, you had a reason why you didn't get him off that ark for almost those 2 months, dear God. Everything appeared dry, Lord, but you could see something Noah couldn't see. And you had him wait there on that ark. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that these things made sense, dear Lord. God, help us to know when you say go, and help us to stop when you say stop, and help us to use caution when you say use caution. Lord, help us, like Elijah, Lord, to be able to go off and hear that still, small voice. Lord, that voice that's peaceable, that voice that's easily to be entreated, that voice that's gentle and meek and lowly. Lord, help us to hear your voice in these dark last days that we're living in. Lord, help us not to get bogged down with all that's going on around us, dear Lord. Help us to walk on solid, firm, solid ground, dear Lord Jesus, in your word. Lord, help us not get caught up on side issues that aren't quite completely stable and thus causing some to fall. But Lord, help us to be established, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So Lord, help us to walk in the light of these principles. Dear God, help us not to let them go in one ear and out the other. Lord, help us to walk faithfully with you, and we'll give you the glory and the honor and praise for it. And we ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.